The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, there are some weeks where as preachers we look at the readings and they really seem to have nothing to do with each other, no thread that ties them together. And then there are some weeks, like this week, where the connecting threads abound so much. And even right now, I'm fighting the temptation to say that if I just talk fast enough, I can tell you all of the connections that abound in these readings and what they mean for us. There's so much here. I think it's so powerful when we pull at a couple of these threads, we see the ways that this all connects together for us. We have the story of Naaman from 2 Kings. We have the story of the 10 lepers from the Gospel of Luke. But I think it's Psalm 111 that gives us a profound banner to hang over our morning this morning. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I pray that that would be a banner that hangs over our worship today, over our prayers, over our singing, over our young people as they praise God in Sunday school as we prepare for our annual meeting, that we give thanks to the Lord with our whole heart. Because both of the healing stories today explore a number of different avenues into the ways that we can get in our own way sometimes. The ways that our pride or our busyness or our biases can blind us to the wonder of healing that God is working in our lives and in our world. In 2 Kings, Naaman is the general of an army that is diametrically opposed to Israel. They are sworn enemies. He is an outsider to God's people just based on where he is from, the people to whom he's connected. Not only that, he has leprosy, which means that his outsider status just keeps compounding. The king of Aram sends Naaman to Israel, eventually to Elisha's house. And Elisha sends a messenger out to tell him to wash in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman's insulted. "How dare they? Do you know how dirty the Jordan River is? Back in Damascus, we have pristine rivers. Why could I not wash in there? There's no red carpet. There's no trumpets heralding my chariot's arrival. Do they know who I am?" Naaman would seem to say. He resists the prophet's call to wash himself because he thinks he's above it. "Why should I have to do that? Does he know who I am?" It's finally when he humbles himself and obeys the prophet that he is cleansed. And he returns to confess Israel's God as the one true God. Not only that, but he gives a gift to Elisha and refers to himself as Elisha's servant. Something has transformed within Naaman beyond the healing of a skin condition. That kind of exponential exclusion that he had felt, being both a foreigner to the Israelites and also having leprosy, and also all of these things stacked against him. But then he is set free. For Naaman, he was so far gone, and yet that makes him all the more eager to praise God with his whole heart when transformation happens. Naaman's cleansing shatters all the boundaries that existed before to bring him into a new kind of relationship with God's people, a new kind of relationship with a new spiritual community. Naaman's humility and his gratitude erases that contempt and separation that existed between himself and a wholehearted way of living and thanksgiving. Where before he looked down his nose at Elisha, the idea that he'd be asked to wash in the Jordan of all rivers, his acknowledgement and his gratitude at being cleansed changes his life, sets him on a whole new course, where he was exponentially excluded before. Now he is brought in to community. He is not only healed of the skin disease that was afflicting him, but he is brought into community with people that he would have thought was a sworn enemy for life. The healing is power enough. But wow, that power to restore enemies, that's a whole new power of its own. And we see the same thing happening in our gospel story for today. We hear that Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem. This is nearing the end of Luke's gospel, so this is the final trip to Jerusalem where he'll come face to face with Pilate and the powers that be. And on his way to Jerusalem, he's walking in these borderlands, this kind of liminal space between Galilee and Samaria. 10 men with a skin disease from a nearby village, they approach Jesus, but they keep their distance. They know to keep that physical buffer between them. And they plead to Jesus to have mercy on them. All these different borders and boundaries exist in this interaction. We don't know the nature or nationality of each of the 10, but yet all the same, Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. Knowing that they were unclean, this would have been a wild thing to do before they were healed. But they turn and go all the same. And as they were on their way, we hear that one of them noticed he was healed. He returns to Jesus. We hear he begins to praise God with loud shouts of joy. Shouts his thanksgiving with a loud voice, where only before he was comfortable keeping his distance, now he knows he can approach Jesus with a wholehearted gratitude. And then Luke drops the punchline. Says he was a Samaritan. You want to talk about sworn enemies? You think a commander from Aram and the Israelites and 2 Kings were enemies? Galileans and Samaritans, whew, they had an animosity altogether mightier. Again, we're brought to this story of exponential exclusion, right? He was someone with a skin disease. He was someone who was not from Israel. He was a Samaritan. And the things kept being stacked against him. But he's the one who returned. Like Naaman, the Samaritan had multiple strikes against him, and yet it's he and he alone who comes back with loud shouts of gratitude and praise. We don't know why the other nine didn't return to Jesus. Perhaps it's because they didn't notice they were healed in the same kind of way as the Samaritan did. Perhaps they were still at the temple presenting themselves to the priest. Perhaps it's because they didn't feel quite as far cast out as the Samaritan did. There was the physical healing and the physical restoration that happened. But then there was this transformation of heart that brings the Samaritan back to shout thanksgiving, prostrate himself at Jesus' feet, to lay at his feet and offer his whole heart in thanksgiving. For the other nine, maybe they were only cast out a little bit. When we're only cast out a little bit, restoration is good. It's good news. It's convenient. Nice to not have the skin disease anymore. But it's not life-changing. I think this is what might make thankfulness a little more fleeting for them. Right? When you're an exponential outsider like Naaman or the Samaritan, the gratitude is deep because the healing is so deep. Not only the physical healing, but the social healing, being brought together in community, the emotional weight lifted off of us when we are welcomed home. And when the healing is that deep, thankfulness and praise cannot help but spill forth. I love that we get to read these stories on the Sunday we have our annual meeting. As we gather each week and we begin our time of worship by confessing that we are exponential outsiders. We are exponentially excluded. We are your stiff-necked people. We confess each week about the ways that we don't measure up, saying, God, we screwed up more times than we can count this last week. And just like Naaman, and just like the Samaritan, we're met with the restoring power of Jesus that tends to the deepest hurts and the deepest abandonments we can face. And says, you're not alone. Says, you are loved. When the healing is that deep, thankfulness and praise cannot help but spill out. It's at the point when we feel most undeserving, most exponentially excluded from God's blessing, that we are welcomed in and restored and made well. This is what God does because this is who God is. We remember it each and every week as a part of our sending when we include in our sending our mission statement, which first and foremost thanks God. Because that's who we are. And that's what we do. As we gather for our annual meeting and we hear stories of what God has been up to here at Calvary in the last year and in the ministries which we're connected, my hope for each of us is that it leads us, it invites us back to God in wholehearted thanksgiving for all the blessings that God has given us and for all the ways that God has abundantly provided for us, so that with one voice we can proclaim the words of the psalmist. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. For that we can say thanks be to God. Amen.